Ramo here for Q92 Radio. Well, on the phone with us from Ukraine and the Poland border is Mark Lindquist. Mark is originally from Ortonville and is a Minnesotan, a veteran, American veteran, and he's also a motivational speaker. And Mark is in Ukraine, in Poland, as we speak here. Thanks, Mark.
Well, thanks so much for having me. You know, hello to all the folks back, back in Lackawanna Valley and Big Stone County and Ortonville, my hometown.
Yeah. Before we talk about what you're doing, Mark, just introduce yourself to us a little bit. You grew up and you graduated from Ortonville High School?
I sure did. You know, I was born into an orphanage in Seoul, South Korea, was adopted at the age of 8 months, and happened to be chosen for adoption by two residents of the community of Ortonville. Gordon and Diane Lindquist adopted me in 1982 and raised there, graduated in 1999, and so I'm a Minnesotan through and through.
Okay.
And, decided to follow in my father's footsteps, serving he served in the Peace Corps, I served in AmeriCorps, served in the United States Air Force, and because of that service, when President Zelensky made a call for a foreign legion, my ears perked up. And so I submitted that application. Likely, you know, I haven't heard from them, and many veterans have not gotten an interview with them. So in the meantime, it's humanitarian work. You know, it's helping the people in front of you. And certainly as a veteran and somebody who isn't a stranger to, changing situations that you have to adapt and overcome, I knew I could come over here and help. And so that's what we've been doing this last week, is here in Warsaw, here at the border, down at the largest refugee processing and intake center in Poland, where 2 million refugees have passed through. We were just down there yesterday supporting that mission, and soon we'll push on to Lviv to see how we can help out there.
Okay. Let's back up a little bit, Mark. So what inspired you to just drop everything and get to the border there in Ukraine?
Well, I think it's like a lot of people. You know, you watch your news every night, and it's Ukraine, 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 as it should be. And it's the brink of possibly World War III. And so anybody with any, you know, sense about them would be eyes on this conflict because of the major ramifications of it, right?
Right.
And so certainly as a 40-year-old person, I've just never seen anything that was so potentially disastrous or consequential. Yeah, I didn't live through the Cuban Missile Crisis. I didn't live through World War II. This is as big as it's gotten for my life. And so I decided that if I can help, I have to.
Okay. All right, so why don't you tell our listeners a little bit exactly where you're at right now, and what are you seeing on the border there, Mark?
Yeah, so right at the moment we're regrouping with my group of Americans and veterans and civilians alike. There's a crew of us that have banded together, and we've got similar ideas about how we can help the missions that we want to accomplish over here. And so we're regrouping in Warsaw for one last day of planning before we then push toward the country. What am I seeing on a daily basis? We were down at the border and at the refugee camp, and we're seeing mothers with children that grabbed everything they own. They put it into a plastic bag. I heard a story about Babushka, you know, grandma, what we would call. And she was carrying everything that she owned in two plastic bags. She was at the refugee in processing center, and one of her plastic bags got snagged on a turnstile and it spread out all over the floor. And the Google Translate, when the volunteer came up to help her, what she was saying in Ukrainian was, "My life is on the floor."
Mm.
And I heard that, and I said, oh my goodness, these people are going through something so traumatic. They escaped a war-torn region. They probably waited 12 hours in the elements, out in the cold in 20-degree Fahrenheit weather, to cross the border. And now they're living in a refugee camp in a cot that is 6 inches away from the next human. There's 1,200 people that sleep there every night.
Mm-hmm.
And there's so much need. There's so much need. They need 1,200 disposable bedding sheets and pillows every night.
Mm.
They need suitcases. If you've got a suitcase, you got to get over to Poland. If you've got a hiking backpack, you got to get it over to Poland. If you've got shower sandals that are new, you got to get over to Poland.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
There's so much need.
I understand you went into Ukraine the other day. Mm-hmm. Tell us about that.
So I have a Marine buddy of mine, friend of a friend, who we've been, you know, establishing contact with various veterans and teaming up and working together. He had been at the border for days before I got here. And he was doing an orientation for us, a volunteer orientation. We crossed over into the Ukrainian side and we're mere yards into the country. And our job is to escort the refugees back because they can't carry all of their items sometimes. And so it's a mile crossing, or really half a mile at the least, to get from the Polish side to the Ukrainian, Ukrainian side to the Polish side. And so we were there to carry bags and help people. Woman rolls up in a car. We ask if we can help her. She's got a little daughter. Halfway through the trip, we realized, because she told us with a picture on her phone, that it was her 11-year-old daughter who was the one who was shot in the face by the Russians as they were fleeing Mariupol. And so, I mean, just pure chance. No idea who they were before.
Right.
Don't even speak the same language. We had to use Google Translate to communicate. But we were five Americans carrying their bags.
Mm-hmm.
And we built a rapport with the little girl and the mother. And they felt, you know, open enough to communicate with us that that was who they were.
Mm.
Sure enough, it was them, you know. And then after we reunited them with their husband and father, we realized, wait a second, everybody knows about the 11-year-old girl who was shot by the Russians as she fled Mariupol.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe the Western world doesn't know that they made it out all right. And so we kind of felt a responsibility to let everybody know that she's safe.
Good.
She's in Poland. She's off to destinations westward. And her name was in CNN, and her mother was interviewed, and so we figured it would be wonderful to tell the rest of the world that she made it out alive.
Right. How long does it take once they reach the border, by foot or van or bus? How long does it take to process to get into Poland, and is that a difficult thing to do?
Well, that yes. That's why it's taking, you know, 24 hours sometimes when there's an influx of refugees. And there's an influx because there's buses that show up, right? Teams of buses from eastern Ukraine, or the train shows up, or any number of instances. But then, think, if you've got 18 bags with you, you've got to declare all that and run it through the x-ray, and that takes a long time. And so, you know, per individual. Because the border wasn't built to process 2 million people in the course of a month.
Right.
It was built to process normal travel between European countries, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so it is, people are dying on the other side of the border because they're freezing to death.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And it doesn't make any sense to me. This thing's been going on for 6 weeks and the world can't respond better than this. We can't make sure that every emergency blanket that exists in the Western world gets to the border of Poland. What are we doing?
Right.
Babies are dying and freezing to death. You're telling me that you're going to escape a war-torn region, you make it all the way across the country aside the Texas, you finally get to the border, and then you die?
Wow.
Come on.
Yeah.
We can do better than that. That's why I'm here.
Well, I've been following you along on social media, Mark, and you are getting supplies directly. You started a GoFundMe page. Tell us about exactly what the needs are, and how can people help?
The easiest way to help is to donate money. And I know that all of a sudden that raises red flags. But let me tell you, when you donate your money to these large NGOs, and I'm going to call them out by name, the UNICEFs of the world, the Red Crosses of the world, they're only over there at the border to show off and look good. They're not doing any real work. Their people are sipping coffee, and they're not solving real problems. The only people solving problems here on the ground are the people that don't have any red tape. They raised $5,000 when they came over here because their friends wanted to help them, and they're going into the local store and buying stuff that people need.
Mm-hmm.
That's what helps. All of this, I mean, I will tell you flat out, I'm an American Red Cross volunteer. I was certified with them for many years to teach their classes, but do not donate to the Red Cross. They're not helping in Ukraine.
Mm-hmm.
Not that I've seen. You got to get the money through the GoFundMe, to the Venmo, to the people that you know are over here, and we're not going to worry about how we look.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to look at the Ukrainian in front of me and help them and get them what they need.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I'm in zero overhead operation. I'm paying my own bills over here. So if you donate a dollar, the whole dollar goes to the person.
Okay.
Except for the GoFundMe fees, right?
Right.
I would hope that people in Madison and Appleton and Beardsley and Browns Valley and Ortonville, that they would trust me that if you send me $100, I'm going to buy 5 suitcases for these women.
Suitcases with roller wheels on them, it looks like, huh?
With wheels. You got to have wheels. Yeah. Simple stuff like that that changes a woman's life when she's got 2 kids on her hip and she's trying to carry everything she owns.
Yep, and you've seen this firsthand, and you even mentioned your need of earplugs. Why is that?
There's 1,200 people in an open room sleeping.
Okay. Yeah, it'd be loud. So.
Yeah, I mean, I would want earplugs if there's 1,200 people getting up at all times of the night and sneezing and going to the bathroom and falling over and kicking. Who knows?
Yeah.
So earplugs. We need shower sandals because the women aren't showering, because the only thing that's available is a refugee shelter outdoor. You and I wouldn't want to walk into a refugee shelter with no shower shoes.
Correct.
I mean, these people just—they didn't think to grab their shower shoes when they fled.
Mm-hmm.
So they need slippers, because do you want to wear your shoes 24/7 and never let them breathe?
Right.
They need the young boys, 10 to 17, are the ones that are being forgotten here. They don't have clothes. They don't have shoes. There's so much need, and what I'm doing is collecting these lists of things that people need, and we're in the process of figuring out our best way to let the world know to ship these things over here.
Mm-hmm. Good. I have a question, Mark. Where do you go get the materials and the supplies? You know, I'm thinking with millions of people coming across the border, what kind of stores do they have that have these supplies on the shelves?
Well, this is, I mean, going into the town of Chemish, which is, I believe, roughly, let's say, the size of Wilmer, let's say. Or maybe it might even be the size of Duluth. I have to look that up. But where would you get supplies in Duluth? It's the same thing. They might not have the big box stores that we have, but there's 80,000 people that live in an area.
Mm-hmm.
There's stores everywhere. So I just went to the store and I bought it. I filled up shopping carts, I filled up my van, and I went to the refugee center. And before I got to the back of the center, the cart was empty.
Wow. Wow.
And so that's when you know you brought something that the people really needed, is when you can't even get it back to the in-processing center before people take it. And I was glad to give it to them.
Hmm.
That's what it's for.
Yep.
Some big NGO with some big name that's got a bunch of overhead and all kinds of garbage, they're not going to be able to solve that problem like I just did.
Right.
We need more people like me over here doing that kind of stuff. Well, I try to figure out how to, you know, think big about what happens when the 2 million people come back.
Yep. Yeah, it's kind of overwhelming, I would think, at times. But a lot of people suffering in Ukraine, and do you still see people coming across the border a lot?
Yes. It has certainly slowed, and some people are even going back.
Mm-hmm.
But there are times like yesterday when there, you know, it was still 6 hours across the border.
Yeah. Wow.
Because the line was so deep.
Okay.
That was yesterday.
Okay. Yeah. So, Mark, tell us, how can our listeners directly help? Can they go to your Facebook page or Instagram, or how can they connect
with you? Go to Facebook. That's the best. Go to the Facebook page. Just search Mark J. Lindquist. Or if you're on GoFundMe, you can just search Lindquist, and you'll be able to find that. And like I said, every dollar goes to the people, because, you know, we're just using that money to buy things directly. And like I said, $20 gets a suitcase. $3 to $4 USD gets shower sandals, right? I need to get, they ran out of shampoo and conditioner yesterday randomly. And so we need to get travel shampoo and conditioner over there. Well, I can probably buy 5 little bottles of that for $1 over here, because the money goes further over here.
Yeah. I know some.
So
some,
GoFundMe and the Facebook page.
Yeah. Okay. That's Mark J. Lindquist. Facebook page. Just check it out there. Mark has a lot of posts there. Talk about quickly. Some Ukrainians are trying to get to other countries like Norway and Sweden. Talk about that a little bit.
Yes. Yeah. So, in fact, if anybody here is listening and is inspired, take for example, I grew up in the Lutheran Church. A lot of us, you know, in our families, we come from the Swedish and Norwegian heritage, right? And so, a lot of Swedes, a lot of Norwegians in Minnesota. And so, I am in touch with two different organizations that are volunteers driving buses from Ukrainian border all the way up to Sweden and Norway, and 45 refugees at a time. We're accepting them and in-processing them up in Sweden as new Swedish citizens, right? Refugee status.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's an opportunity for a church to get together and say, you know what? If we just got Mark and his buddies $5,000 for less than $100 per citizen, we could get a Ukrainian refugee resettled in Sweden for $5,000. That pays for the bus, for the meals, for everything, for everything. And we could give those people a new life. Hmm. Let's raise money, $5,000 at a time, so my buddies don't have to leave the bus parked in the parking lot. They can continue to make these runs back and forth and get these people to points westward and hopefully onto a better life.
All right. Mark, we really appreciate what you are doing and other Americans and other people over there. Boots on the ground, I call it. That's what's
yeah.
needed.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for sharing the message about this, and I'll keep you updated.
All right. Thank you, Mark. I appreciate it. Thanks for your time.
All right,
yep.
It's
Mark.
You take care.
Yep. Mark Lindquist on the border of Ukraine and Poland with a report, and hopefully we can keep in touch with Mark here and get some updates throughout however long it takes.
Thank you, sir.